Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Brian Stout, who is the founder and CEO of The Factory, which is a web design and graphic design company located in Midtown, Reno. Today, we're going to be discussing Brian's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Brian.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Man, that's a loaded question. I think it's the freedom of it. And I think, having worked for other people, just feeling like I could do it better was really motivating.
Yeah.
I had a pretty specific experience where I had a job that was just the best job I've ever had. And then they kind of ran the company into the ground and the whole culture changed. And from that point on, it was just like, I need to do my own thing. I could do this so much better.
Yeah. It just fueled you. It just fueled your drive to want to do better.
Yeah. And basically create that, best job ever situation for somebody else.
Yeah, very cool. And then, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Originally, I was in a touring band, and I was the guy who would do all the album artwork, the merch designs, the website, all of that. So,
okay,
I've kind of always been artsy, creative, and just kind of enjoyed doing that kind of work. And then I was in the band and was doing the marketing and driving that machine. And that's kind of how the factory began, because we we would tour and then we'd come home. We had a studio. We would record bands to fund our next tour, basically. And there's so much downtime when you're in the studio that while they were recording and tracking the album, I would be doing the website and the merch, and then we'd kind of kick them out with everything they need to go hit the road. So that was where the factory comes from, and the name was born because we were basically trying to create this package deal situation for bands that would come in and record and get all of their marketing and all of their merch and all of everything done all in one spot.
Got it. Okay. And then, so how has the factory evolved? Do you guys still specialize in serving, bands in the music industry, or have you evolved from there?
It completely evolved from there. The studio no longer exists. The band no longer exists. Kids and life happen. And the agency part of it, the graphic design, took off. Had a life of its own, and the web design part of it kind of followed that. So the studio fell away, the factory remained, and basically just grew into an agency.
That's really cool.
We still have entertainment clients, which is nice. That's super fun work to work on. We've got cool swag and, platinum albums from Coldplay with the factory plaque on it.
Oh, wow.
Super cool stuff. We get to work on a handful of really big music acts. So But I mean, we do everything from Coldplay to mom and pop shop, coffee joint, and everything in between.
Okay. So, you know, in those early days when you were first starting out, what were some of the challenges that you had to overcome and how did you overcome them?
I think the hardest one was, and it still is, it's like finding the right spot to hire. Like, you're too busy for your own good, but you can't afford somebody reliably.
Yes.
And navigating that hump of just feeling confident that, you know, you're responsible for somebody's livelihood. It's a really hard decision to like just go through with it. My first hire was a funny story because I locked myself out of the office for his interview. So I didn't break the lock and kind of scramble before his interview, but he's still with me to this day.
Wow.
Yeah. He just celebrated 10 years. And
that's
I made
impressive.
Made him a partner for his 10-year anniversary, which was
amazing.
Cool.
Wow. That's so cool.
So yeah, I think we've always struggled with that. You know, it's like we run a pretty efficient machine. So we keep things lean and mean, a small staff, and everybody's kind of a jack of all trades. So it's hard to hire somebody that fits into that flow. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to have a little bit of everything, and your personality's got to fit with everybody else.
Yeah.
And you have to have a level of customer service and own that side of it too. So
right.
It's not only hard to hire people because of committing to the financial part of it. Mm-hmm. It's finding the right people, but I think we've done a pretty good job over the years, and everybody that we've hired, I mean, minus maybe one or two people in the 13 years that we've been in business, is either still with us or works with us, have started their own thing, and we've kind of supported them mm-hmm. to go off and do their own stuff. So it's been interesting. Everybody sticks around. So it's kind of,
yeah. Yeah. It speaks to, you know, the type of culture you guys must have. So
yeah, I mean,
that's
I'm
really cool.
Proud of that. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, after being in business for 13 years, have you found it easier now to know when it's the appropriate time to hire a new team member, or is that still a challenge that, there is still some friction around that process?
I mean, I think there's still that like hump. That's just a really uncomfortable place. You know, you get to a point where you're too busy for your own good, but you can manage it. But how long do you want to manage that for?
Yep.
And just, you know, crossing over that is still, you know, a difficult decision. I mean, we're in it right now. We're kind of struggling we could fill one seat, but again, we just can't find the right person. And you know, the Zoom thing's great and working remote is great, but there's still an element of like needing to be around the group and having creative conversations in person that you just can't achieve with Zoom. You know, we could hire somebody remote from anywhere, but we hold a lot of weight on the team being a team still.
Gotcha.
So
it's not so much knowing when to hire, but it's finding that talent that's going to fit in with your culture.
Yeah. I mean, it's both, which makes it a really complicated thing
yeah.
to do, because it's gotta be perfect on both sides, you know?
Yeah. No, it's something that comes up quite frequently. It's, you know, it's something that's an issue across the board. So you're definitely not alone there, but, yeah, it's one of those things that can definitely be really, really difficult finding someone who is a good fit. What do you look for? Like, is there anything that, you know, in the hiring process that has made your life easier whenever you're trying to find someone who is an ideal person to hire?
I mean, we've always just kind of hired based off of creativity. because you can teach people web design, you can teach good design, but you can't teach people how to be creative.
Okay.
So it's always been, you know, send us your best online portfolio or whatever, you know. And then we have an art test that we kind of put people through just to see, you know, when push comes to shove, this isn't a college project. You don't have 3 days to work on this thing. You got 30 minutes. Give us your best shot. Show us what you can do.
Interesting.
Because, you know, we kind of carry a very fast pace.
Yeah.
Which is something that I think helps separate us from other agencies. So, I mean, that's how we go through the hiring process, is basically give everybody a design test and just kind of require a pretty fast turnaround, knowing that, you know, it's going to be sloppy, but it's just all about seeing, you know, what kind of creativity we can get out of them.
Yeah. What you've got in, you know, 30 minutes.
Sure.
Interesting. Okay. So I'd love to pivot a little bit and talk about, you know, what your sales process looks like. So how do you bring in leads into your agency and then close those prospects?
We have never had a sales guy. We have never spent a dime on advertising. It has,
interesting,
from the very beginning, been absolute referral only.
Okay.
Now we have kind of a different situation now because we have a new office in Midtown. Super cool old brick building. We painted the logo big and bold on the sides. We've nice. Got visibility like we've never had before, because we used to be in the high rise buildings and just kind of hidden away. So, I mean, in reality, new leads come to us. We don't actively chase them down. A lot of it comes from referrals. I think one thing that we've focused on from the beginning is just taking care of the people that we have, because you never know where they're going to jump to. Everybody changes seats and careers. And, you know, we kind of have a good example of that right now. We had a client that was working for a medical company over here and left their seat, went to a bigger marketing job for a bigger company, and brought us with, basically. So
yeah,
we've just made sure to take care of the people that we have, because they'll spread the good word. And, you know, if they move on to other things, then it's likely that they take us with.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. So I guess that brings me to my next question. So, you know, how do you really maintain happy clients? What have you discovered along the way that has really helped keep your clients happy so that they're going to bring those referrals to you at the end of the day?
It's 100% communication, responsiveness. I think that's something that really sets us apart. There's never an email that sits. Even if you don't have an answer for that person that emails, we quickly write back and say, got your email, you know, and at least acknowledge that we've received it.
Yeah.
So that they're not sitting there waiting for anything.
Yeah.
I think being responsive and communicating, you know, in, especially now where everything's like, you know, instant everything. Everybody's instant gratification, everything. So if you're not responding or being responsive, people move on. So it's a really easy way to make clients happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think over communicating is the way to go, because you never want to be in a situation where, you know, the client is, you know, confused about something because those expectations weren't, you know, properly managed from the start. So I agree 100%. Yeah, just having that communication dialed in, ensuring they're crystal clear on what those expectations are, and just over communicating, basically.
We also don't have any like account reps.
Okay, interesting.
Deal with your artist directly. So
okay,
that again kind of goes back to the hiring part of this. Like,
yeah,
you have to have a certain level of customer service ability.
Because
we just removed that piece entirely from the way that we work, so that you're just talking to your artist directly, because there's a lot of room for error in that communication of, you know, whisper down the lane kind of thing. The client tells the account rep, I want to see this, 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 and this. And then they tell the artist, this is what they're looking for. It just felt like an inefficient way to get somebody's idea out. So we just, you deal with your artist directly.
Yeah.
They kind of manage, you know, whatever jobs they're working on. Everybody in the shop kind of works on everything, but for the most part, you know, there's a point person for every client, but it's the artist that they're working with. So.
Okay. That's really interesting. Do you ever deal with, you know, scope creep where, you know, you're dealing with a creative project and, you know, the client has, you know, they're just have requested, you know, more changes than you've really taken into account with at the start. Sure. And if so, how do you prevent that from happening so that you don't go over budget?
I mean, yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, it's so common.
Clients don't really understand the amount of work that goes into some of this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try and basically we do everything hourly. So we put ballparks estimates together, you know, based off of similar projects we've done in the past or whatever. So unless it's some sort of special project, we try and do everything hourly. So that way you take as long as you want, you go through as many rounds of proofs as you want, the clock's ticking, it's on you.
Right.
It's kind of our approach. But we do have deals that are, you know, retainer deals. And we let those float, you know, from 1 month to the next. We kind of, as long as it averages out quarterly, then we're good. But there's been times, you know, obviously where we'll go over, and it's just, again, it's just about communication. You know, if we're reaching the top of the budget and we've got a long way to go, mm-hmm. we'll have to sit down and decide what can we take out of this? What can we do differently? Or, you know, can you move the budget and increase it to accommodate what's, you know, what's left to do? So
yeah,
it's really just about making them aware of the process, how long it takes, and having that solid communication.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing the factory?
I mean, it's been all the unknown stuff, the pandemic. You know, like everybody's dealt with that, but we've had so many situations where we've kind of had to reinvent ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we when we started off, we had a very large client initially, which was a huge mistake. Definitely life lesson learned. Because they were such a big client that it kept us so busy, we couldn't get smaller clients to kind of build a foundation underneath of them. They kept
yes.
us so busy.
Yep.
And then one day they were just gone.
And yeah. Was,
oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now we gotta pivot, and now we gotta deal with this, and we gotta, you know, do what we gotta do to keep everybody on board. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and at that point, I become the sales guy, and the rest of the team kind of takes on all the work.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to do that kind of situation a handful of times, including recently with the pandemic. I mean, a lot of our clients were hospitality, wineries, hotels, stuff like that just shut down.
Yeah. So
it dried up, and we didn't get super lucky with the PPP process. And I mean, that was kind of a nightmare situation, getting those loans.
Right.
So that was a tough time, but
So when you know, had to go into sales mode, you know, whenever you lost that big client, what did you do?
I mean, I would essentially, you know, just look at our existing client list and try and figure out how I could leverage either our existing relationships for more business.
Okay.
Areas.
Yep.
You know, doing social media, or, you know, your website's pretty outdated.
Yep.
Definitely use a facelift, or, you know, suggesting things that we could do differently to kind of gain more money out of the existing clients, or look at their industry, you know, and see who else we might be appropriate for, you know, that we could kind of say, well, we're doing this for these guys, you know, looks like you could use some help too.
Yeah. Just suggesting things that would be beneficial to their business.
Right.
That's interesting. I mean,
just a ton of kind of cold outreach, which is the worst thing in the world.
Well, if they're already an existing customer, though, it's a lot easier than, you know, pure cold outreach.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's my least favorite part of doing what I do. I just loathe being the sales guy.
Yeah.
I'm not super cut out for it, but.
Yeah. It's one of those things, though. It's definitely pushes a lot of people out of their comfort zone, but it's such a valuable skill as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, where do you see the factory in 5 years' time?
5 years' time, I'm hoping that we will have a full-on presence in Pittsburgh. That's kind of the next step for us. Mm-hmm. East Coast, West Coast office. I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to, I enjoy being small and keeping the company small, because we're all just really, really tight. So,
right.
You know, you reach a point where you're getting too big. You're not cohesive anymore. So I'm happy with keeping the factory small. I think that we can handle a lot of work, you know, with a few amount of people, and that also allows for everybody to live a little better too, you know, be able to afford nice salaries for everybody, and be able to do the fun stuff that we do. I mean, we try and take trips and, you know, do things as a group to kind of keep everybody interested and involved.
Yep. Keep morale up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we recently took a trip and just flew to Salt Lake City, rented a car, and went and hit a bunch of national parks, and then drove to Vegas and flew home. Like, it was a crazy 4-day trip.
That's so fun.
But it was so much fun. I mean, we just shut down entirely. And I think the clients even kind of appreciate, you know, that we do that kind of stuff. So
yeah. That's very cool. Yeah,
it's definitely created a tight-knit group.
What would you say is your ideal team size for the type of agency that you would want to run?
Because we don't have account reps, I mean, I would say 10 to 15 would probably be ideal, because we can handle a lot of work with that amount of people, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's still, you know, a number that we can all fit at a table if we go out to lunch.
Yes.
So I would say that's the sweet spot for me.
Nice. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Final thoughts or words of wisdom. I don't know about words of wisdom, but I don't know. I mean, I think just being relentless is like the key to it all.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get frustrated and feel upside down, you know, and just stress out about it. But if you just continue to push, and everything falls in line, as long as you have the work ethic to do it.
Yeah.
Everything falls in line.
Yeah, I agree. Just keep going. Like, there's going to be tough days, and then there's going to be those days where you're just, you know, you feel on top of the world. But yeah, you just got to keep going, like you said.
Yeah, it's hard work, but it's rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I don't have a sexy answer for this one. it's more of a silly answer, I think. Horton Hatches the Egg.
Okay.
Zeus is kind of a life lesson. I remember seeing a cartoon of this as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I kind of live by this just general rule. I meant what I said. I said what I meant. An elephant faithful 100%. I think it's super important that you know, if you say you're going to do something, you do it. Be a man of your word. You know, it's your word is your worth. And if people trust you, that's super important. And I kind of instill that, and I expect that out of everybody that works for me. You know, it's definitely something I'm trying to instill in my 4-year-old. It's just a super important, simple life lesson, you know.
Yeah.
we could all benefit from employing some of the simple lessons we learned as kids.
Yeah.
Especially right now, as ugly as everybody has become. It would be interesting if everybody would kind of go back to paying attention to what those simple lessons were when you were a kid. So
yeah,
I think that has definitely stuck with me for forever. So
yeah, and I think that's one of the four agreements as well. I don't know if you've read that book, The Four Agreements, but yeah, it's a good one as well. I can't remember them all off the top of my head, but yeah, it's definitely like, you know, just like things to live by, basically, you know, like do what you say you're going to do.
Right.
No, I love that. That's a really unique answer. Very cool. And then what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine right now, I have a kid on the way and a 4-year-old. So it's like a Category 5 tornado. It's unorganized. It's chaotic. I wake up. Slam some coffee, get my kid fed, get my wife coffee and get her taken care of, pack lunch out the door to daycare. I mean, it's 1,000 miles an hour.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
Right now it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. When the kids are young like that, it's definitely, it changes things so much. Yeah. It's hard to have that really, you know, relaxing morning routine where you've got like that me time, but
there's no yoga happening in my house.
There's no morning meditations.
No, not happening. Yeah.
Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No. I thought long and hard about it, and I can appreciate like products that companies put out, but I don't really have any like, I don't idolize or have any kind of fanfare for any particular CEO. I'm just a fan of people that can, you know, build something from the ground up.
Yep.
And do something unique and treat their people well.
Yeah.
That I can attach to. But like, not a fan of Elon Musk or or Bezos or anybody else. I mean, it's just, it doesn't do it for me. I personally think the titles are, you know, titles are just bullshit to me. That's kind of why, I mean, my email signature is director of directing everything in need of direction. Because it feels like it's for the individual more than it's meaningful.
Right.
To me personally.
Interesting. Okay. And then what is your favorite online tool?
I think Asana. We use that for our production schedule.
Yeah.
We stumbled upon that years ago and it just works great for us. I mean, I don't know how we would do it otherwise. And I haven't seen anything else that, that would make me want to move away from it.
Yeah.
It's just so useful.
It's such a powerful tool. And yeah. it's hard to believe that it's a free tool because it's just so, it's so useful.
I'm waiting for the bottom to drop out of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, have them regret their free decision.
Yeah, no kidding. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think I wish I had better understood the value of having a foundation of small clients. I think when you start, you're so like frantic about chasing that paycheck and just trying to get to the point where you're secure.
Yeah.
That you'll take the biggest, shiniest thing you can manage to find. And you're kind of chasing that like instant solution. Mm-hmm. When in reality, you know, just like our situation, we had a client that was a $50,000 a month client and they just went away. And it was like, oh shit, what do we do? How do we fill that hole?
Yeah.
So I wish I had the forethought to understand the value in having a lot of little clients to kind of lay the foundation.
Yeah. That's great advice. Yeah, I agree. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure you're diversifying and then you won't run into that situation.
Yeah.
It's easier
said than done, but.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Brian. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.